Verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. And when he lets you go, he will surely drive you out of here altogether. Speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor and every woman from her neighbor articles of silver and articles of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of the Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. Father, thank you. You've got another phenomenal nugget of truth buried in this passage that we are going to dig out and we are going to enjoy the blessing of and from. I pray tonight it transforms us into the people that you've intended us to be, people of your kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I am so grateful God gave us his best. I said he gave us his best. He gave us his son. Are you not thankful for that? Jesus was willing to do whatever necessary to help Father bring us back to restoration. We are so valuable to God, the creator of all. He sent his son to die for us. And if you walked in thinking you had little value, think of what the Lord has done for us. Amen? We were worth saving. That's how he perceives us. And then it goes on to say in Exodus chapter number 12, now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Thank the Lord. We have kingdom favor. I said, we have kingdom favor. Grace, unmerited favor, nothing we've done to earn it. And when God's favor comes upon the people of God, you will not go unnoticed. Moses, Joshua, they did not remain under the radar because there was favor on them that came from God. There was favor also on the people of God, the Israelites. And God instructed his people to ask for silver and gold, and they threw in articles of clothing, and they plundered the Egyptians. It means the Egyptians were left with nothing. That's what that word means in the Hebrew. They were left with nothing. Their economy was shattered. In one day, everything can change. In one day, the Israelites were free, prosperous, and Pharaoh was bankrupt. In one day, they went from suffering to freedom. In one day, they went from poverty to more than enough. God will turn life for you into favor in one day. In one day, they went from poverty to wealth because God had a plan for them. And tell your neighbor, God has a plan for you. Come on, tell them, God has a plan for you. So rip up your planner. God has a plan, and it's better than your planner. And in one day, everything can change. Today can be that day that everything turns. They were in bondage for over 400 years, slaves. And they were not treated well. And God had to instruct them as to how to track with this change, because in one day they went from slavery to freedom. It's shocking to the system. One day they were being beaten and oppressed and under the thumb of the Egyptians. The very next day, everything changed from slaves to being looked on with favor, I read to you from the scripture, by their former slave masters in one day, in one single day. What a shock to the system of the Israelites. And it wasn't their ability, it was God's favor and his ability. Remember three things in your day of favor. I'm going to give you three things to remember in your day of favor. And this word is for covenant people. It's for people of the covenant who belong to the kingdom. When you're people of covenant, things can change in one day. Because they were covenant people, we are covenant people. It changed for them in one day. It can change for us in one day. You can be told you have an illness that is life-threatening. You can be healed and whole in one day. In one day, there's zip in your account. The next day, an unexpected benefit flows into your account. This is not for religious people. This is for covenant people. God loves to do things for people of covenant. Amen? Because he's a covenant-making and keeping God. Now first, when God's favor arrives, stop thinking like a slave. I said, when God's favor arrives, stop thinking like a slave. And here's how you know you're not a slave. Watch. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. You're no longer a slave. Moses had to pass along the word of the Lord. Ask for silver. Ask for gold. Get some garments. And as slaves, they would ask for what belonged to them, what they had earned. After 400 years, they were going to get paid for their work. You've gone through too much pain, suffering, to walk away empty-handed when the test is over. There has been so much criticism for God not to show up and show out in your life. In this day, no more defaulting to slave mentality. You've endured too much. God's going to show up. God's going to reward you openly. Amen? A slave has to compete with other slaves for attention. We don't have to compete with covenant people for God's attention because we walk side by side, encouraging one another. We push together at the project that God's laid in front of us. That's why it's imperative that so many people, everybody, do something to serve somewhere, somehow, to have ministry, because we push together. It wasn't just a few that walked out of Egypt that day. 3 million people walked out together. Look around. We are all walking out tonight, favored together. No jealousy once you stop thinking like a slave. There's no jealousy. No competing because we have all been favored by God. Stop thinking like a slave. We don't talk smack about each other because we are not slaves. We are favored. My resources are not threatened by your presence. And we celebrate successes as successes for all of us because we're God's covenant people. When Joshua led Israel into the promised land, he said, "We are not going to celebrate your land acquisition until all the tribes have acquired their property. We're all going to celebrate this together. We don't rejoice because we advanced ahead of another brother or sister. We cannot rest in comfort when brothers and sisters are uncomfortable. We don't get drunk on our own success. We are heading into new beginnings." Are you listening? Second, know your value in the time of favor. Know your value in the time of favor. Sometimes we think incorrectly about ourselves. Watch this in 2 Samuel. So David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." And then he bowed himself and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?" God was ready to bless Mephibosheth. But the way he saw himself was negative. The way he viewed his lot in life was totally a zero. Be careful how you think in the day of your favor. You can block your blessing by how you see yourself. David was trying to seat this boy at his table. He was content to being on the floor like a dog. Believe something good can still happen for you in your life. And no matter where you've been, what you've done, believe that your Father still has a purpose for you and will bless you with his favor. Mephibosheth could not process good coming to him by anybody, let alone King David. He'd been in Lodabar so long, Lodabar got in him. You can deal with some things for so long, they now become a part of you. Can you suffer so long that someone has to step in with a double-edged sword to cut your suffering away so that you can celebrate again, so that you can thank God once again for your freedom? Mephibosheth could not separate himself from where he had been. And he told King David, I'm a dead dog. Not just a dog. You see, you miss things if you read too fast, right? 2 Samuel 9 and 7. And David said, I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. One generation. He goes on to say, we will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather. Another generation. There are two generations of blessings ready to be restored. And he was thinking of himself like a dead dog. Two generations of blessing coming back to him, and he sees himself like a dead dog. David was going to give him the land that belonged to Saul, his grandfather, and what belonged to Jonathan, two generations of blessings, all being granted to him, given to him, that were being honorably passed along to him. But you need to change how you think of yourself. It's not about those who have labeled you. How do you see yourself from the Father's perspective, from God's perspective? Don't tell me what Calvary Christian Center can't do. Tell me what Calvary Christian Center can do. What we can do by the help of God. When we box ourselves in thinking we can't, we think of ourselves as a dead dog. We can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength and the ability. How many know tonight the strength of Christ is inside of you? And because of that, nothing is impossible. Amen? Nothing. It's not our strength, not our ability. It's his strength and his ability. He's given us dragon energy, right? Yeah. There's one more push inside of you. You better use it. Why? Don't you think of yourself like a dead dog, right? You're called by God. You've been anointed by the Lord. We know who we are in the kingdom of God. We receive from God generationally. I said generationally. Know your value. I am Mephibosheth. I am in Lodabar, but I am Jonathan's son. And what God started at Calvary Christian Center, God is going to complete. And I have a generational responsibility. I don't have to change the purpose or change the vision. What God started will be completed. There is generational blessing, and we will not stop shy of where God destined us to go. Be careful not to allow turmoil in your life to define you. Because I have a great father. I can become a great man. And anything God did before me, he will double in my generation. Is anybody ready for double? It's yours. Because you're covenant people. And we shift our thinking as covenant people. And third, in your day of favor, ask for the cake, not the crumbs. Amen? Yeah. Covenant people don't have to settle for scraps. Understand the word. Jesus answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dog. And she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall off the master's table. The woman speaking with Jesus in the story is a Syrophoenician woman. She's a Gentile. She's not yet a part of covenant, but she had enough faith to jolt a miracle out of Jesus. And who were the children seated at the table being described by Jesus? Covenant people. You're not under the table eating the crumbs. You're at the table eating the cake. Amen? I said, you're at the table, you're eating the cake. Let me help you. We are covenant people. We are not under the table scrapping. When the world sees how good God is to his covenant people, they will desire to become a part of his covenant. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Amen? The context, we are in covenant with our Father because we trust him, obey him, have faith in him and his promises, and bring him his tithe. That keeps us in covenant. That brings his favor. That continues the relationship of covenant. God wants his people to no longer remain under the table waiting for crumbs. God wants us to pull up a chair and be seated at the table. There is a seat for everybody here at the table of the Lord. There's a seat there. You can begin eating at his table as his own special people. Say, I am a child of God. Say, I am in covenant with God. I am not under the table. I am seated at his table. Now celebrate your Father and thank God. Amen. Celebrate him. Covenant. We have to learn this. Because like Israel, it's a really fast shift from having been a slave to all of a sudden a free man. We have to learn this. This is what happens when you step into covenant. Being in covenant doesn't mean you don't face tough times. But it does mean at a certain time, something good will happen. No matter how bad the moments have been, at a certain time, something good is going to happen. Something's going to change at a certain time. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. God remembers his covenants. He had a covenant with my predecessor, Pastor Long. He has a covenant with me. God remembers his covenants. And listen, God's covenant does not exit with a person. God had covenant with Abraham. God had covenant with Isaac. God had covenant with Jacob. There was manifestation with Joseph. Thank the Lord. Know who you are and claim the Joseph manifestation in one day from prison to palace. I'm excited. I don't know about you. Do you all have too much lunch or too long of a nap? Listen, I'm excited. Your adversary looks to devour you. And just look at him when he comes roaring around saying, you attempted that last year. You're really going to try that again? Really? You did that before, and here I am still standing. My God will remember me. God remembers my lineage. God remembers his covenant. God will remember me, and God will remember you. So Calvary, God remembers you. Tell your neighbor, you have not been forgotten. Psalm 105. I'm going to close quick. He remembers his covenant forever. The word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. And I love it when God uses hyperbole to describe what he's about to do. He gets it out there so far your brain can't wrap around it. And he begins to tell us in words that we can begin to comprehend. So what does that mean? There is no end to him remembering his covenants. He remembers his covenant how long? Forever. The word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. Father has not forgotten your children. You have lineage. He has not forgotten your children. The children are in line with the covenant that God made for you. And align yourself understanding you're a covenant man, you're a covenant woman, you're a covenant child of the Most High God for 1,000 generations. So speak to your body and speak to the bad diagnosis and speak to your provision and speak to your troubled home and speak to your children and speak to every area because God remembers me. I said, God remembers me. He has not forgotten his covenant. Does God remember you? I know he's remembered me. And I understand. I'm not blessed because of what I have done. I'm blessed because someone upline honored God. And I'm a recipient of that blessing. You are covenant people. And there's something good happening here. It's called covenant. Covenant. It's written in the blood of his son. It's a generational blessing that hell cannot stop. And this blessing has an appointment with you. Anybody ready to have your name called for your appointment with the master? Amen. The appointment was set for tonight, April 29. You have an appointment tonight to be here and to meet the Lord. Say, God wants to bless me. And Father's blessing is looking for you. All you need to do is step into his presence and confess that you trust your Father. Tell him you will serve him. And all those who come after you in your lineage are also going to serve him. Tell that to your Father. Say, Father, you have brought me through lineage to this place. And my children and my children's children are going to serve you as I have. And if they ever find themselves in bondage to their enemies will never be able to destroy them. Because this is a set time that God will visit you again, a set time that God has to visit Calvary Christian Center again. God will keep his covenant with his people. You remember when Abraham and Sarah, they showed up in front of Pharaoh. And Sarah, she was just fine, man. She was just a beautiful woman, fine. And Pharaoh checks her out and says, I want you to join my harem. Come live with me in my palace. He wanted her for himself. But remember, God had a covenant with Abraham in spite of his lies about who Sarah was. God kept his covenant with Abraham. So a plague breaks out in the house of the Pharaoh. Because if anything touches what belongs to God, he creates a breakout. Amen? And you stand on that covenant for your kids. If anything touches what belongs to God by covenant, he'll create a breakout. So here's what we're going to do. We need to jump up on our feet. I want you to high-five two people and celebrate the Lord. Come on, jump up on your feet. High five two people and celebrate the Lord. Come on, celebrate him. Thank you, Lord. Celebrate him. And I want everybody who can to make your way down here to celebrate your coming victory in your life because of the lineage passed along to you and in the lives of your family members. If you've got family and you want the covenant to be kept in your family line forever, you need to get down here. Listen to me. Celebrate your coming victory for you and your house. Amen. We are covenant believers. We have covenant with God. God will bless us indeed. Say, God wants to bless me. He wants to bless my family to 1,000 generations. Thank the Lord. Come on, celebrate him. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. You are good, Lord. You are good. We bless you. Lift your hands and your voices. Take a few moments.